Hey, I'm Heather, a chaos coordinator and mom of three young kids. Chaos and cookies is literally my life, with never-ending dishes, laundry, you name it. Being a mom is a blessing, but it also comes with hard days too. Together, we can find the humor and real solutions to lighten your load and clean up the crumbs. You're listening to the Chaos and Cookies Podcast. Hello, hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Chaos and Cookies Podcast. I am with Chef Mel Osteroff, and I'm excited because I've had a lot of chefs and cooks on the show and food critics, but I've not had a dessert person. So that is my favorite meal, and I'm super excited to talk to Chef Melody, or Mel, about her new book that just came out. Chef Melody Osteroff, her professional baking journey began in Paris, training with some of the biggest pastry chef icons like Pierre Hermé, maybe, Francois Paillard, and Laurent Duchesne, at the age of 26. She opened a bakery there and created mesmerizing events, bringing the rainbow cake to Paris for the first time with appearances on Top Chef France, as well as being featured in hundreds of articles. Chef Mel created the first ever edible cupcake dress for the Salon du Chocolat in both Paris and London. Several years later, she would go to win Food Network's Chopped 2 times. And in short, Bake It with Mel brings 15 plus years of pastry savoir-faire. Her newest creation is her book, Sweet Treats from Brownies to Brioche, 10 ingredients, 100 recipes, will bring a bit of Parisian flair to your next baking session. Please welcome Chef Mel to the podcast. Hi.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Luckily, my grandfather was born on Montmorency right outside of Paris, so I have a little bit of French pronunciation, but I probably butchered some of it.
No, that was very, very good.
Okay, well, good. I'm glad because I'm from Texas. You know, it's, you know, there's Paris, Texas. So before we jump in,
Different Paris,
right? I like to ask, what is your favorite cookie and or cookie memory?
That's actually a great question. So I would say my favorite cookie is probably the chocolate chip cookie that took me about 10 years to perfect.
Okay.
Because it really is like a work of art. And then I would say my favorite cookie memory is one of the very first times I made cookies. My great grandparents used to live at the Plaza in Paris for about 40 years. I know it's kind of crazy. And so whenever we'd go visit them with my mom, the chefs at the time at the Plaza used to let me play around in the kitchen. And so they would give me some cookie dough to kind of play around with and try out different shapes and how to roll them. And I would kind of just see every kind of like whole magical aspect of baking behind the scenes. So I would say that's probably one of my first and favorite cookie memories.
That's a pretty fantastic one. I have to say, I've not had that come up. Usually it's grandma baking with my grandparents. This is a great one. Very cool.
Yeah. So, it's definitely a really, really fun to kind of see everything happen behind the scenes in terms of baking before it gets onto the plate in front of someone and it's gone in, you know, 20 seconds. But sometimes there's like days and days that go into making that cookie or making that dessert.
Oh, for sure. Right now there's this, I mean, it's kind of, it's trendy. It's whatever. I mean, it's a 30-minute, you know, show, just like this Top Chef or like these other like baking things. And this is it cake? You know, my kids and I watch it. It's really fun, but you have 30 minutes. But I, you know, I've seen these baking competitions where they'll get to either prepare and bring it before. They don't show any of that because it's not like, and I'm trying to tell the kids, like, they don't just like snap to it and they start reading something.
In Chopped, we do.
At Chopped, you have to
cook. In Chopped, we really do have 20 minutes on the clock or 30 minutes on the clock for the last recipe and we really cannot bring anything, make anything ahead of time, bring any recipes. They're like super authentic about the way the show is kind of run.
And
so
you're on
in
the
that
France
case,
version? You're on the France version of Top Chef or?
the Top Chef France, I was a guest
Top.
judge.
Okay. Top Chef France. And then
Yes,
Chopped.
here on Chopped, I competed twice on Food Network's Chopped, and then I won twice.
And that's where you get the ingredients and you have to make something with it. So what were your like ingredients? Because they give you some weird stuff.
They give me very weird things. I don't remember all of them, to be honest, but one episode was called Three Cheers for Chocolate, where Martha Stewart was one of the guest judges, so it should be pretty easy to find. And I had already cooked for her, so that was really fun to kind of be able to see her again. And then the second one was called Holiday Sugar and Spice, which was a championship episode. And it re-airs almost every year, I want to say, like around the holidays, which is kind of great. So a lot of people can catch that one. But on that one, they gave me, I would say, an ingredient that I definitely remember, which was duck liver, that I had to make dessert with. And I was like, what am I going to do with this? So I ended up kind of like flambéing them with a little bit of cherries and cognac and things like that to kind of die down the duck side of things. But I always have to admit that I thought that what one of the chefs on that show did with me with the duck fat was even better, because he rendered the duck fat and made cookies with them. And
Oh.
that's very smart. So I always kind of like that really stuck with me, because I was like, that is a very good reflex to do. I should have done something like that. But anyway, my dessert came out great. We did kind of like this milk chocolate cherry thing with like some cognac, and it was good.
Yeah, I mean you have to think on your feet, right? And
Oh, you do.
baking and all that is baking is like an exact art. Like I like to bake more so than cooking. I think cooking you can kind of like give and take a little on things, and you know you can make it spicier, less spicier. But with baking, it's so
Precise.
precise. And I would do theme things for my kids when they were younger, which I should have done it when they were older because they would remember. But I'd go all out and make like Pikachu things and mold them out of chocolate or whatever. And who has the time? But I would think, oh, this is great. They were little and it was fun, but they don't really remember it because I'll show them pictures like, I don't remember when you did that. I'm like, really? It took me a month. So it takes a lot to do that. Like the chocolates were molding and I would like put them together and I put like a Pokeball, two sides of chocolate, and I filled them with M&Ms and a little Pikachu like figurine, and they were huge. And then I was like, these are, I told the parents, like, don't let your kid eat that on the way home. Like, that is, it's the size of like an actual like baseball. And I was like, all for 5 seconds. So I'm sure, like, with your, like you said, like everyone, you have to prepare and everything. So, how did you get into that? And what kind of training? Like, you have some training, obviously. Did you go to France to train?
I went to culinary school after college in New York City. I went to the French Culinary Institute in New York. And at the same time, I was an apprentice at François Paillard. So at night, basically, or I forget. So I'd work at the bakery from like 4 a.m. to about 1 in the afternoon or 2 in the afternoon. And then I'd go to culinary school and start that at like 5 p.m. around there until like 11. It was insane. I was so tired, but it was amazing. Honestly, being able to like apprentice while I was in culinary school, I think taught me a lot as well. And François Paillard is, I would say, is my mentor. I actually sent him a book last week, so hoping he sees it or he answers me. But he really did teach me so much of what I know about how to run a bakery, how a bakery is operated, and the receiving of ingredients, and then how to create a recipe, and just kind of like how all of the components kind of come together in baking. And so from there, I wanted to experience different sections of baking per se. So I wanted to work in like boutique pastry, which is then when I went to Paris and I worked for Pierre Hermé because I wanted to learn about macaron and croissant, pain au chocolat, kind of like all of those things. And then I wanted to work in a Michelin star restaurant because I wanted to see what plated desserts were like when like you have to prepare, you know, sometimes for 4 or 5 days, if there's like 10 different components to a dessert, it's a lot of intricate little parts that
like
kind of
tiny.
all have to come together. So I wanted to kind of see all of that. And then I also worked for a chocolatier to work a little bit in like chocolate and candy making. So I honestly, like, I fell in love with boutique pastry, which is kind of my favorite, which is like Pierre Hermé, or when you go into a really nice pastry shop in Paris and things like that. I'm trying to compare one here, but like most of the ones I like in the US are French, I think. So
Yeah. Well, it's
kind
funny
of the
you say
same
that,
thing,
because when
French
I was
bakery.
told you were coming on, I've been to Paris 2 times. I went when I was 13. My grandfather took us there so we could see where he grew up. And I've been there as an adult. And one of my most distinct memories when I was 13 was there across the street from our hotel was a like chocolatier shop. And it was so fancy, it looked fancy. And it was just this little, it was small little shops. It's Europe, everything's kind of small, but in the window, it had this like tree of just golden balls, but kind of like the Ferrero Rocher, but like a lot better. And so it was, and we would go in there and just look. It was like beautiful. And it's my most distinct memory. And I just remember that little chocolatier shop. Incredible.
So taking kind of like all of this to bring in like why I created this book, it's the reason I called it Sweet Treats from Brownies to Brioche, and I really insisted on the brownies to brioche part, because even if you're making simple cookies or brownies, if you use a few techniques that I kind of go through in my book and a few fundamental building blocks, it just levels up your baking to create a cookie that then people are going to remember. And I was never a fan of like just eating something sweet because you're craving something sweet. I always think it should create just some sort of moment of happiness, and like eating Oreos or like, you know what I mean? Like just store-bought cookies, it doesn't hit the same. And so sometimes you don't always want to spend 3 hours in the kitchen to get a great cookie. So that's kind of like where my book comes in, because there's over 150 recipes, but some of them are 20 minute recipes, just like some of them are 3 day recipes. So like there's something in it for everyone and kind of like every occasion. And if you make like very simple cookies to kind of keep in a jar next to the coffee machine, like you can keep them for like a month. So I have like Granny's Biscotti, which is one of the first recipes I ever wrote, which was for my grandma, because she loves biscotti, but she always said they were too hard for her teeth. So I wanted to create a biscotti that had all of the flavor, but that wasn't like super crunchy, so that you kind of feel like it's going to break your teeth.
Those are hard. Those like.
Yeah. So some of those can get very like crunchy. So that's one of the first recipes I wrote. And so kind of creating those little, I don't know, little moments of joy kind of just changes your day, I think. And that's what I try to do with this book. And I also demystify kind of the complexities behind French baking that don't have to be so complicated and intricate. And because a lot of it really works like Legos. Like if you learn the dough and the filling, you can then make 20 different variations of that with just those two recipes, right? You flavor them different, you play with the texture, etc. So that's kind of
Like a
like what
souffle.
I
You can put
what I go
different
into.
like things into a souffle. Like it's the same, but you can put
Exactly. But you can make a hazelnut souffle, a strawberry souffle, a praline souffle, a chocolate souffle, a vanilla souffle. So then you can kind of pair it with different ice creams and it becomes a different dessert, as long as you know how to make souffles. So that's actually one of the Bake It With Mel, along with my cookbook, I created a line of baking kits that are kind of like Blue Apron, but for baking. And so they come with all the pre-measured ingredients, but not only that, they also come with like the spatula, the cake board, the parchment paper, all
Yeah,
of those
everything that
things
you need.
that you need in a really cute little pink backpack.
Aww.
And each one is scannable for a video tutorial. And so that's kind of like where Bake It with Mel started initially. And then I also just created a line of French baking mixes, which are more like your, I don't want to say Duncan Hines box mix, because we use much better ingredients and a much
Comparatively, like
better
what you might
recipe that's
know.
actually, yeah, written by a chef. So I don't like to compare it to that, but we have a line of bag mixes now too, for those, like for crepes, for pancakes, for like the
Which
crepes.
is a go-to game changer. Like I
Yeah.
have like pancake mix. It's from Kirby Lane. It's this local Austin place, but it's the best mix I have. And I use it, and it tells you how to make either waffles or pancakes with it, but it's super good. And it's bagged, and I don't have to mix everything together.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I don't like, I make all my cookies that I know from scratch just because I think it's better than those cake mixes because they're very
100%.
like artificially flavored.
Yes.
But if you had
Yes.
something of high quality,
Right.
I would totally bag it.
Right. So I have that's so I have like the kit, for example, is the Art of Cookie Dough. So it teaches you how to make the perfect chocolate chip cookie. And at the same time, like I also teach this in different classes and stuff. So I have a subscription club where every month we bake different recipes from the cookbook or that we chose to kind of do that month. And so working in grams, which is what leads me back to the cookbook, because I had to negotiate really hard for that. I think this is one of the first cookbooks in the US that has grams listed before cups.
Oh, well, everyone's
Because,
looking into grams because of macros, and that's coming to be very big. So
right. And it's not just that. It's like, let's say you have a cookie that you love, but you're like, it's just not chewy enough, or it's not crispy enough, or it's not thin enough. If you're working in grams, then you have the accuracy to be able to change that recipe to your liking. So let's say it has 120 grams of brown sugar and 100 grams of granulated sugar. I know that granulated sugar makes a cookie flatter and crispy, while brown sugar is going to make it thicker and chewier. So I can change that and make it, no, I want this to be chewier. So let me do 160 grams of light brown sugar and only 80 grams of granulated sugar, for example. You can do that if you're working in grams. If you're working in cups, you cannot do that. And we also use cups, like you use the same cup to measure flour and to measure sugar. Yet a cup of flour is 100 grams. A cup of sugar is 200 grams. So
Oh, which
how
makes
does
sense
that?
because of the volume. That makes
Right,
sense.
because of volume. So I had to like fight for all of that in my book, because I was like, they were like, well, oil is the same as water, which is the same as milk. And I was like, but it's not. It's
Right.
not.
It's like muscle and fat. Like
right.
a pound
It
of muscle
doesn't
and a
weigh
pound
the
of
same.
fat, they weigh
Right.
the same, but the density and the volume is different.
Right. Exactly. So like when you weigh out milk or heavy cream, they're not exactly the same. They're close, but they're not exactly the same. And so anyway, so I added conversion charts in here too, and like baking language, and kind of break down. It's kind of like a little mini going to pastry school in a book. So,
how long did it take you to write this thing? Because you already had recipes, you said, create like your grandmother's. Like, how long did it take you? I mean, books take a long time, and they're
the
usually
whole
conscious.
process, yeah, is long. I would say it took me 3 months, 4 months to sit down and write like straight. But I would also say that that's because I had done the 15 years of groundwork ahead of time. So I had already recipe tested all of my recipes. So I didn't have to recipe test anything for this book, because
What
these
about
are
photographs?
recipes that,
You have to
yes.
remake.
So photographs, we had this amazing photographer that shot the entire book. And so like we have like big photos for each kind of recipe has its own big photo. So like these are like the cat tongue cookies, shoe puffs with meringue.
I have a book similar to this. It's all holiday stuff. It's really helpful to see the bigger picture.
Yes.
I used to try
I
to make
wanted a
it
big picture
picture.
for every single recipe. Yeah, I think it's important because if like you're making this for the first time, I think you really look to the photo to see how golden brown it should be, how thick it is, how tall it is, how, you know what I mean? So I think it's definitely a great thing. It's also much more expensive to produce a book that's like this, but I am lucky enough to have a fantastic publisher and publishing house that helped us with the whole process. So
Is this your
very
first book?
excited about that. Huh?
Is this your first
Yes, it's my first book. And they agreed to put me on the back. On
on the
the
back? Come on.
back, I know.
Oh.
Unless you're like Martha Stewart, basically. I don't think they put you on the front, from what I've been told.
Okay, so that was a Korean. Okay, but it's so pretty and it's so the sprinkles. I actually just did birthday invitations and it's exactly like the sprinkle look. It's
Yeah,
so
so we
pretty.
have like chocolate souffles on the cover, and we also have brownies on the cover, and we also have these little hearts. They're called palmier hearts. They're kind of like these little puff pastry hearts with sugar. They're so good. Like just with store-bought puff pastry, you can do them. So there's a lot of like hacks and industry secrets, I would say, in this book. That's where the gold is. It's like the first 70 pages.
Ooh.
Because those are not things you get just in culinary school. And it's all the stuff that all these celebrities and everything kind of gatekeep to themselves.
Right.
But I was just like, no, we're spilling the beans. We're sharing everything. So.
Absolutely. Because that's really, what you really want to do, or you like, you see it and then you try to do it, and then it doesn't come out the way that either you remember or what you're looking for. And if you don't have that ability or background, then it's like, you don't really know. Like I figured out that if you use cold butter versus you soften the butter, it's flat and crispy versus like I like softened butter. And then I realized, well, if I soften it in the microwave, it is not the same as leaving it out overnight.
Nope.
So I refuse now to make my chocolate chip cookies without like my kids love me to make them. And I'm like, I forgot to take the butter out.
You have to take the butter out. You cannot skip that step. I know there's a million tricks about timing it in the microwave, slicing it. So honestly, if you want butter to come to room temperature fast, the sheer way I have personally used that works the same is if you take your stick of butter and you slice it into quarter inch slices and lay them on a plate. Because it's much thinner, it will get to temperature much faster than leaving it as like a full block.
So you
So
don't do
within
the
like,
blocks this way, you do the blocks like long ways.
no, I'll like have the whole stick and cut them into like little quarter inch squares.
Oh, I see. And
And
then you
then also using a European butter always for baking.
European butter. So like not Land O'Lakes or whatever. I mean, no. I mean, I don't even know. I don't use margarine. That's like I've always been told like that, don't
That's
put
not
that
even
in your
butter.
body. It's not even butter, it's plastic. It's one molecule away from being plastic.
Yeah.
Right. So great marketing with that. I can't believe it's not butter, but yeah.
No, I never ever would do that. And I've had a few bakers that send me photos like, Chef, my cookies didn't come out. Look, they're super flat. Like, I don't know what happened. I followed your recipe to a T. I was like, did you? Let me see what butter you used. And
So
then
what's
they're
the
like, here's
European
like
butter?
a tub of I don't even know what. And I'm like, this is not butter.
Okay.
Like, this is not butter. That's why this cookie didn't come out the way it should with real butter. So
Because they
I
use vegan
always think,
products or something else, right? They're trying to be like cut the calories. It's like water
right.
when you're baking
And
for.
you can't make high quality desserts without high quality ingredients.
Right.
So that's my rule number one. And so using European butter for baking, I do that for every single thing I make because we have a much higher butter fat content at about 80% compared to American butter, which is about 60, and the rest is water. So that's why if you're using like Land O'Lakes or an American butter, your cookies are going to dry out by the next day because there's so much water in it. If you're using like a higher fat butter, then it costs a little bit more, but your baked goods will stay softer and chewier longer because there's more fat and less water. I feel like I
Wait,
should do a TikTok about this.
you should do a TikTok about that. So what's an example of a European butter? Can you find those in like your everyday grocery store? You have to go to.
Yes. So a lot of people like the Kerrygold. I'm not a huge
Oh.
fan of it just because it's very yellow, so it makes it very hard to get like a very nice white buttercream, for example, or a mousse or a pastry cream. So my go-to is the pre it's called President, which is président in French, butter. That's my favorite one. And then the plugra or plugra, I forget how it's called, Plugra, is my second go-to. And it's about $4 for two sticks.
You better be really careful when you make that and make sure you get everything else right.
And yeah, exactly. But so I spend what I need to on butter. However, I'm not going to use a super expensive vanilla bean in a chocolate brownie recipe, right? I'm going to splurge on expensive chocolate because the highlight ingredient is chocolate. So that's kind of like my rule is like, yes, try to get quality ingredients where you can, but also knowing that like if I'm making a chocolate cake, it's probably okay if I use extract instead of like an actual vanilla bean. So I would say kind of like spend money on the highlight ingredient that you're trying to bring focus to in your dessert. And then, of course, to avoid mistakes, like that's page one in my book, which is mise en place, which is,
It's my favorite place, by the way, in Tampa, Florida. There's a place called Mise en Place.
Is there really?
Good. It's so good. It's so
No way. That's an
good.
amazing name. That's a restaurant.
Yeah, Mise en Place. And there's a French guy that owns it, and I would go there all the time. It's not the cheapest place to go to, but it's fantastic. And
That's very cool. So, do you know what mise en place means?
I forgot. I used to remember.
In its place.
In its place. I know that it was bouche, but like I couldn't
Yes.
remember. But yes,
So, it's
in
like in its place. It basically means when you're going to bake, read through the whole recipe, weigh out all of your ingredients, preheat your oven, prep your sheet pans with the baking sheets, like,
Oh,
do
okay.
all of that before you even start mixing anything. That's
Okay.
mise en place. And that's probably the best advice to anyone who bakes, whether professionally, I mean, if they're professional, they know to do that. But for someone getting started in baking or someone who loves to bake or has to bake like 3 dozen cookies and it gets kind of crazy in the kitchen, if you actually do that, it will save you 80% of the mistakes that you could make because you might get through half your recipe and then be like, oh my God, I don't have baking powder. Now what?
That sucks. That's the worst. That's the
Right?
worst.
But you can avoid that if you measure out all your ingredients ahead of time before you start.
Right.
Yes. So I
Exactly.
would say those are probably like the tips I give to bakers quite a bit.
Absolutely.
Because it just makes things easier.
I have a baking like bin. So when I go to bake, I don't have to go back and forth, because that's the worst when you're cooking and then you get there and you're like, I don't have X. So now it's like I grab my baking thing and it's here. So all I know is like I gotta get the refrigerated stuff, but it's there and I don't have to go and I less trips and then I can put it all back. That's what
I
I
will
do.
convert you to a gram scale.
I have scales. I'm sure there's probably a gram on there, but
Yes.
yeah, I mean, hey, I will cook however. I mean, I know like grams and like macros and things like that, but I don't like the cups because it is very bulky and it's just like, but you just do it because that's the American way, right? And that's how we measure things. But the way that you explained it is very, very makes sense. And you have so
And
many.
also, I guess while we're talking about butter, a question I get all the time is, do I bake with salted butter versus
Ooh.
unsalted butter? And I think that's it's a very valid question. But I've actually never bought salted butter except for if I'm eating it on like a baguette, like just to enjoy the butter. But I always say as kind of my rule is I measure my own salt because every brand of butter will have a different salt content. So if you measure your own salt, you always know the amount of salt that's going into your recipe.
And also, if most cookie recipes, at least like chocolate chip cookies, they have you add salt. So if you're using salted butter and then you're
And you
putting
add salt.
salt, right? Such a good tip. You have so many great things. We could talk all day.
I know.
Amazing. So where can we get your book? Because you have such, you're gonna just give us all sorts of information. And I love to bake, so I'm super excited. Where can we find it? Where can we find you? Because you have all sorts of stuff going on.
So we have TikTok and Instagram, Bake It With Mel. where I do like daily tips and tricks and recipe hacks and all of that fun stuff. And then we have my website on Bake It With Mel, which has the baking kits that are organized by level. So you can try your hand at level one, level two, to level three. We're coming out with level four this year, where we're going to make a eclair kit, actually, that I'm working on right now.
You guys.
And then the book is basically everywhere books are sold. So it's on all the Barnes and Nobles, Amazon worldwide. And I forget a few other ones, but right on my website, there's a link that you can click, and you can go right to the page that tells you a description about the book, a description about me, and then all the different places you can purchase the book. For signed copies, it's only on TikTok right now.
Okay. All right. Wow. That's amazing. Well, I truly encourage my listeners to go. I mean, you're listening to a Chaos and Cookies podcast. How like incredible it is to have a pastry chef and classically trained one who's had lots. I mean, I could pick your brain all day because I'm a big like movie buff TV thing. Like I would be, but I don't, no one wants to hear about my questions like that about
I
your
do.
book. But hey, maybe one day we can. And so I really do strongly encourage them to get it. I love cookbooks like yours. It's just very, they're pretty, they're fun to read. The kids can see it. You have a very colorful book. And thank you so much for sharing all your tips and tricks. And I'm super excited. I will be tagging you all over the place when I start and
Oh,
try.
amazing. Yes, we'll definitely be sending you a book.
Oh, amazing. And all the links will be in the show notes. So if you're listening and you want to get a copy or pick up maybe one of those boxes or just follow everyone, Mel on TikTok. You can find it there. And please reach out if you have any questions or if you ever want to connect. Thank you so much for being here, Mel. We will catch you and the listeners on the next episode. And, please come back on your next, project.
I would love to. Thank you so much for having me. And remember, life is short, so make it sweet.
That's right. Life is short. Make it sweet.
Make it
Catch you on
sweet.
the next one. That's amazing.
Thank you for listening to the Chaos and Cookies podcast. If you want more goodies and friends to share them with, follow the crumbs to the Facebook group or visit the Chaos and Cookies website to grab my sweet secrets on how to calm your cookies. Don't forget to leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. See y'all next week for another episode of Chaos and Cookies.